Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial #law, #529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. So many ways to take us in. We appreciate any way you choose. Thanks for making us part of your morning. It's Gil Alexander. It is Clay Bidlon, producer number 9, so much more than a producer. Kelly Bidlon, everybody, is how you correctly pronounce that. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. I'm still just laughing at our loving dysfunctional family that we have here at Visa. The Dave Ross on his way out just spilling some coffee right as Gil's sitting down. It's like, there you go. And then just reminded of a Wes Reynolds classic of just spilling an entire cup 2 minutes before a show back in the South Point. Just the great stories and lore of Visa history.
We shall survive. The liquid on the console, which was cleaned up by Dave Ossel, we should point out.
Yes.
On the show today, a bevy of guests. Once again, a bevy of guests. Alex Kane, the CEO of Sport Trade, will join us, as will Jason Weingarten to talk awards, the fallout for him from the awards given last night for Rookie of the Year, Skeens and Heel. We'll find out if Jason won anyway, as he said last time.
You know the best part about this today, the Jason coming on? Everybody's so excited about it. We're excited about it. Me and you have not had a discussion. We haven't had more than 1 second of a discussion of if we're going to talk anything else with him besides this, because we expect this to take so much time up.
Well, I hope it doesn't, you know, but Jason gets to going on that stuff, and he's that guy where he's upset, but he wants to act like he wants to say that he's not upset.
Right.
So listen, he's given us so many winners through the years. So sometimes they don't go your way. Tim Murray talking college football with us. Tim Murray, host of the VSiN College Football Tailgate Show, of course. We will discuss college football with him. All of that in the second hour. I buried the headlines of the first hour. JVT, our senior NBA analyst, will be here to talk with us. Some college hoops with Matty Cox. And Kelly and I deep diving into, and this is, I'm looking forward to this, NFL fewest wins. Fewest wins, baby.
This market is so jumbled, Gil.
I love it.
Like, it's almost like Coach of the Year, right? Where you're like, there's a lot of people that could win this thing. But I think I found what I like.
I think I found what I like. Here, before we get to it, here are your candidates. The Chicago Bears, 4-6. The 3-7 Panthers and Cowboys. The 3-8 Patriots and Jets. The 2-8 Giants, Raiders, Browns, and Titans. And the 2-9 Jaguars. Those are your candidates. We'll get to it coming up. First, last night in the National Basketball Association Emirates NBA Cup. You've caught the fever already? I'm going to ask you, what's a bigger deal from last night? Here are your choices. You ready? Third choice, hint, this is not the biggest deal. Russell Westbrook with 200th career triple-double. How about that? Russell Westbrook, 200 career triple-double.
Yeah, he's. I have a feeling he's going to go down in history as one of the more underappreciated players in NBA history for what he's done statistically, because it is pretty incredible. But, what's next?
By the way, Jokic will soar past that in due time, within a few years at current pace. And then Luka will probably get there as well. Choice number two, Dalton Connect, baby. Who I, before the last NCAA tournament, before last March Madness, I was like, I feel like a Danny Manning and the Miracles thing is about to happen with Dalton Connect and the Volunteers. It did not happen, by the way. But Dalton Connect, 9 three-pointers to tie the rookie record shared by 3 others. 9 three-pointers for the Lakers on his way to 37 points in a Lakers win last night. That's choice number two.
Okay.
Because he's obviously, what a nice cog for the Lakers to have in that wheel. They needed a shooter. They got themselves a shooter. Lakers beat the Jazz 124 to 118. Or the third choice, the fact that the Cleveland Cavaliers, the 15-0 before last night, the 15-0 Cleveland Cavaliers were down 21 to the defending world champion Celtics and got within 2 on 5 different occasions. Could never quite get over the hump, but still get the cover as they lose to the Celtics 120-117 in a game that closed seven. You and all y'all betting the Celtics last night.
Yeah, I was on that. That was a loser. Two losers for me last night. That was a big game. Celtics win it. Did add the Celtics group winner play, so at least they won the game. So they're looking better in that situation. But yes, cover didn't get home. To answer your question though, it's kind of interesting because the Cavs are going to lose at some point. The Cavs losing the Boston Celtics, which are the best team in the NBA, not a shocker to me. Dalton Connect is the biggest piece of news of the three you just went through, because if Dalton Connect can possibly do this at any level of consistency throughout the season for this Lakers team, they, as you kind of said, they add a dimension and another element to this team that they desperately need. It is not a luxury add for the Lakers. They need a player like this to be able to do things like this if they're actually going to go far in the NBA playoffs.
The Cavaliers, I think you might be right. It might be Connect, by the way, who is 3-1 to win Rookie of the Year. Only Jared McCain at +180 is shorter.
That is picks, 17 and 18 in the draft,
that's,
I believe.
Right. We couldn't believe that Connect fell to the Lakers in the draft.
And McCain's been awesome.
Zachary Risacher, by the way, 7-1, the only other person in double digits. I don't know, man. The Cavs didn't have Okoro, Wade, or LeVert last night either against the Celtics. And they only lose by three. That shouldn't be glossed over either.
No, not at all. Yeah. Not at all. They are a great team. I don't know at what point I'm going to really buy in. You and I have talked about this a fair amount. I wonder that, look, the coaching change has clearly made a huge difference. Mobley, just even how some of the players are acting, Mobley's drives to the basket per game are massive. That was an element that was missing from this team in years past. I don't know if all the pieces are there to make this go through the playoffs and work long term, but they've been a great regular season team for the past few years. I don't think there's any reason to believe. I mean, right now, Gil, they are the second best team in the Eastern Conference to me, and it would not be no shock if they finished the regular season that way.
Yeah. I mean, unless they collapse. I mean, at this point, Kenny Atkinson is coach of the year running away with it at this point.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Kenny Atkinson, coveted by many teams with vacancies through recent history, and finally the Cavs get their man. Kenny Atkinson, even money. Steve Kerr and Joe Mazzulla, the next choices, at both at 9-1. By the way, are you getting tired of the Joe Mazzulla act with the press?
I am so tired of it.
I'm so tired of it. Like, I get it. You want a championship. Now you can just have that attitude the whole time with him. Like, every question is treated with such smugness.
Yes. And don't get me wrong, some of his quotes are funny. Some of these guys that get these Phil Jackson-esque Zen quotes that you're just who's ever said this? And Mazzulla does this sometimes.
And Joe Mazzulla, you're allowed to smile. I know. You might think it's not cool, but you're allowed to smile.
It is interesting odds. I do not have a bet in this market. I mean, Kenny Atkinson obviously deserves to be the favorite. I don't know that Mazzulla or Kerr. I know JVT was high on Bud coming into the year. I don't like Ime Udoka and JJ Redick still stick out.
Ime Udoka at 14-1 and JJ Redick at 18-1. Wow. Yeah. I did promise yesterday that I would have an NBA bet, and I do. Because we got into a discussion. Drew was here, Drew Dinsick, and we got into most improved player. I sort of let it out, I left it open. Hey, what awards in the NFL and then the NBA interest you? And he immediately launched into the NBA most improved player. He loves Franz Wagner. Franz Wagner currently at 7-1, the third
got
shot.
Shorter. Yeah.
Got a little shorter. Jalen Williams at +450, Jalen Johnson at +550, and there's Wagner at 7-1. My bet, Kelly, is on. Little unorthodox, because it doesn't usually go to an older player. But I went with Norman Powell. Norm Powell of the LA Clippers at 18-1. Now, you're saying, man, an old player doesn't ever win most improved player. And you'd be right, by the way. That's the fly in the ointment here, right? This is an award that has gone to Lauri Markkanen, to Ja in his third year, I believe. Went to Giannis early in his career.
One recent that it's not as old as Norman Powell, but Julius Randle.
Julius Randle, that's right. That's the closest comp. But the reason I went with Norm Powell is He has improved his points per game by 10 points here in the early season, from 13 plus points a game to 23 plus points a game. That is a marketing like jump. Wagner, only 3-point improvement. And I know all the advanced metrics with Wagner that Drew was pointing out yesterday. I concede that. But again, it gets down to what are the voters actually going to bet on? Are they deep diving into the metrics? Or are they just going to look at the fact that Norm Powell is just having a ridiculous, and again, it's only 17, 18 games. I get it. So this is, you know, trying to get ahead of this. But I think this is a portent of things to come from Norm Powell throughout the season. He's also shooting. Now, here's what he can't possibly sustain.
Yeah.
He is shooting 47% from behind the arc. 47. I think it's 46.9 or something like that. But that is insanity. You saw it, by the way, in full display against the Dubs the other night. But he has been incredible for the Clippers. Now, the other point that was made, one of the other points that was made by Drew was, well, but the Magic may end up with like the 3 seed in the Eastern Conference. And the Clippers are not going to get, by the way, the Clippers, I will concede, will not get anywhere close to a 3 seed in the Western Conference. But I don't believe that this award, historically or even should moving forward, I agree that it hasn't historically, been tied with a team's success in the standings. It's most improved player, right? And I do believe the big jump. Now, some other players we were talking about yesterday in this market, Grady Dick, second year, he's not going to get it.
Now, it's usually not garbage teams, but like that's Clippers fall in the middle. That's fine.
Right. Yeah, not going to be a garbage team. Dyson Daniels, big 10-point jump in his points per game average, but it's from 5 to 15, not from 13 to 23. And as we've talked about in years past, you usually don't go from oblivion to mediocrity.
Yeah.
Or not mediocrity, but, you know, being okay good.
19 to 24 is a much more significant jump than 6 points a game to 16 points a game.
LaMelo, we talked about yesterday, it's more about an injury. Jalen Williams, Jalen Johnson, all good, but the stats jump is not as dramatic as they are for Norm Powell. Jalen Williams is going to have to do more in the stat sheet, I think, to justify the plus 450 right now. That's my play. Norm Powell, 18-1 is what I got him at yesterday.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
He's coming up later in the show, the CEO of Sport Trade, but just a friendly reminder that if you're the type of player who's looking to get down $10,000 or more on an NFL line at the best price in the market, or perhaps you're looking to get your in-game play instantly accepted, Sport Trade is the place for you, the app that's going to change sports betting. Minus 104 lines instead of the typical minus 110 instant in-game betting and a concierge player service. Sport Trade, perfect for those who want a premium betting experience. Sport Trade live in New Jersey, Colorado, Iowa, Arizona, and now Virginia. Download Sport Trade. Use code VSIN to earn 10% cash back on each wager in your first week. Terms apply. Got to be 21 years or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Should I Ron Burgundy through some tweets, Skelly? What do you think?
Sure.
Sure.
It always makes me feel comfortable.
Yeah. I'm sure you're like, oh, this could only go great. let's see here. This is from James Sott. Also missing last night for the Cavaliers, Max Strus, who hasn't played all year for the Cavs. Of course, Porzingis missing too, but missing all their wings didn't help. It was a fun big game in November. Joe Arsu, I'm in town for the F1 race. There are a lot of bets that are very interesting. Any advice? Well, again, tomorrow. Oh, we didn't say again. I was just doing the promo for
That's
it, but
right.
I didn't say on air. Phil Bobbitt, the gentleman who was on before the F1 race last year and who crushed it, as I recall.
He crushed it.
Will be on the show tomorrow to talk about the Las Vegas Grand Prix. And let me just say this again, not only to talk bets tomorrow, but I just want to say this again. For all of the guff that we gave F1 for how they destroyed the city last year, this year, great.
I was I went out for dinner on the strip last night, navigating around. Actually wasn't all that big of a deal.
Nope.
Koval's completely closed, but the strip's open. It's kind of cool anyways that you can just kind of drive where they're going to be racing.
Oh, never have you driven on a smoother surface in your life.
Right, like I drove on a racetrack last night.
Yeah.
Like that's just a fact.
It does not allow me to make one specific turn when I go to work. There is that. But once you learn that, I just, avert. But it's great. This is, let's see, Andy V. Oh, no, I'm going to Ron Burgundy and Andy V. tweeters. Can you ask notorious FSU hater and U of M fanatic Chris Felica, what more does Cam Ward need to do to win the Heisman? Took a 7-6 team last year to a 9-1 record on the doorstep of the playoffs while being the NCAA leader in passing yards with marginal NFL talent at wide receiver. Well, I will ask him that when he comes on Friday. Also, by the way, speaking of who's on Friday, because we do the Football Friday hour here with Felica, Fezzik, and Dr. Bob. Bob calls me yesterday. This is a true story. In the middle of the day, Bob calls me. Bob and I are great friends, but we rarely talk on the phone. So when he calls in the middle of the day, I'm like, oh, what's going on? What's up, Bob? Swear to God. 3.5 minutes after I say, what's up, Bob? What's happening? 3.5 minutes of Bob just launching, not even so much as a hello. Bob launches into, can you believe these people on Twitter who think Indiana shouldn't be in the playoff if they lose badly to Ohio State? 3.5 minutes. I barely get in two words. And at the end, he goes, good talking to you, buddy. That was the end of that. That was the whole conversation. So he's going to be on Friday. He is a national treasure. Good friend Chillionaire says my rookie of the year selection would have to be Stephon Castle, 22-1 at DraftKings. Haven't checked any other books yet. Long shots, he says. By the way, Castle, a player that LeBron James has already praised this year as well.
He's great. There's a lot of interesting rookies right now in the NBA. And there's not the it feels like it's been a little while since we've had the like a wide open race like this, right? Yeah. So. And it's very wide open.
We have Matty Cox, by the way.
We do have Matty Cox.
Can I just read this one? Because this one goes after you for a second. Rich PSM.
Goes after me.
Russell Westbrook underappreciated. He got an MVP, but that team along with all his others didn't win a championship because he's always shot poorly too much. He's killed more good teams than built them. There you go. And like you're talking about Russell Wilson.
Yeah, okay.
Russell Westbrook,
he's put up ridiculous numbers throughout his entire career. I'm just saying we're not going to really appreciate that. We remember that one season, what is that, 12 years ago now?
There you go. All right. Ready to go? Matty Cox, ladies and gentlemen, for Three Man Weave. Let's talk some college hoops, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Matty Cox, one of the three-headed monster at Three Man Weave, with a cornucopia of pennants behind him. We got a little, South Florida, some Duke. FAU.
See the Owls.
Some Duke back there. What do we got? Indiana. Oh, what is that? Hawaii in the middle. Is that Missouri Valley State also?
Valley State, Gil, I covered State. Last night, by the way, went into the Octagon of Doom and got it done for backers. So, yeah, shouts to my year, as you called it, a potpourri of I'm trying to complete it. We have some white space here. I just moved into a new remote office. Three-man weave doing very well, as you can tell. So, yeah, still in the work in progress phase, but we're getting there. Not quite as professional as what you guys have there, but close.
Your handicapping season is going well so far?
It's okay. I don't like to speak poorly or strongly about it until it's over. I'm very superstitious, but so far it's going fine, and I would be very okay if this pace continued the rest of the year. It never does. You know, there's always annoying dips and unforeseen spikes. If you could just go one unit a day, it'd be great, but just not how gambling works. The variance monster doesn't allow that. So
no, I think about that from time to time. It's like, okay, if I could just win this, like what you would consider a modest amount of money every day,
right? One unit a day keeps a doctor away. That's my motto.
Let me ask you this, because I asked this of your buddy, James Patrick Root, when he was on. What futures do you have in pocket yourself here in November?
Well, I have a couple I hate. Wake Forest was a big position I took to win the title. So these are all to win title. Wake Forest at 250-1. You know, they could, I don't know, Cincinnati, who I really like, I have them at 200-1. Texas Tech, who I think Jim was also beating the drum for. That's probably my favorite position. I have them at 125-1. And then I took some UAB, Grand Canyon, and then Xavier as well. Those are the other three that are just okay. Jim's better at the futures than me. I got burned on the last couple of years. I think my problem was if you bet too many of those favorites, you kind of erode you have to be more selective. And I think you kind of have to skew away from the top 20. The whole percentages and the sort of the value you get in the top 20 is tough. You have to really kind of get in that 20 to 50 range, teams that you think can launch into the top 20. And that's kind of how you accumulate your value. Also buying them throughout the year, right? I mean, preseason, you tend to get better value on teams that you like at a dip during the season, right? No, December, November, after a tough loss or a bad streak. I think that's when you got to being patient pays off in the futures market.
Let me ask you about a few results that have already occurred. Then we'll get to your plays today. Alabama loses at Purdue, if I'm not mistaken, which is not the most shocking thing in the world. Arizona loses to Wisconsin. Duke, obviously, on a grander stage, losing to Kentucky, even after Cooper Flagg had a great game, but then three possessions, not so well at the end there. What matters the most of all of those to you, or are all these just early season blips?
early season, you hear these coaches talk, and more than ever, it feels like, especially these non-conference games in November, right? Like, as you get into December, and sometimes you get these non-conference battles in January, February, where it's like getting closer to the end of the year. And I think the coaches put more stock in how their team's playing late in the season, especially now when you have so much player turnover, where to hear guys like, Buzz Williams and, Matt Painter and Hubert Davis, like, talk about how it's like, they don't really care about losing these early season games. They just don't, right? They want to see their guys in high pressure environments, and whatever happens, happens. And I don't know if that's, how it always used to be, but it does feel like there is, I try to keep myself from putting too much stock in what happens early in these big non-conference tilts, especially on the neutral sites in early November. I think there's more noise there than signal. There's always exceptions, as we saw with UConn and how dominant they were in their MTE efforts the last two seasons before kind of struggling, through conference play. But generally, I think there's more noise than signal in those games.
Since I bring up Flag, is there anyone in the Wooden Award market that you would dare bet at this point besides him?
No, I think the prices are tough. You really have to find an upshot guy with major, a guy who can be on a, top four seed or a Cinderella darling at large team that just sets the world on fire with product. I don't really see a ton of those guys this season. I think it's a very open race. It's a tough market to bet because you have so many of these top teams with a ton of depth. Like, there's not clear cut alphas leading producers. It's one of the hardest markets in the futures that I've tried to bet historically. I think it's only gotten harder. So that's when I didn't touch the 10-foot pole. And honestly, I don't even think Flag's a great value bet. I think there's a ton of other weapons on that Duke team that I don't think his scoring production is going to always be gaudy. I think he's sort of impacted the game in many different ways, and maybe not always in the stat stuffing ways that you need to really have a good case for a player of the year, points, rebounds, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I was watching, and probably the best college basketball game of the season so far was that College of Charleston double overtime game.
Oh, yeah.
And the kid from College of Charleston, whose name escapes me right now, but he plays for College of Charleston, right? So you can't even consider betting someone
right.
like that.
Yeah.
Okay, what'd you land on today?
I got a couple of dogs. It's funny, all of these big favorites, and you've probably talked to this with Jim, or you've seen this in the market for those, but I mean, they've really been taking a lot of money early this season. For example, I was looking at Merrimack, a new addition to the main board, by the way. Shouts to Merrimack and Joe Gallo making the big upgrade to the 3-digit, not 6-digit listing on the big board. They're playing Rutgers, young team that's a little bit banged up and can't score. I did take first half there, but again, market was all over Rutgers early, so I should get a better price there on first half. The other one I did take first half was San Jose State. There's been some buyback, but USC took big money early. I think Timmy Miles is a dog against Eric Musselman. I think that's a plus EV bet.
So Rutgers and San Jose State, both first half bets.
Merrimack and San Jose State.
Oh,
so
Merrimack.
I'm the favorites in both. Yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Merrimack and San Jose State. Okay. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it very much. Matt Cox from Three Man Weave. Thank you.
No, thank you, fellas. Take care.
You too. Ante Berzovich, by the way, the player from College of Charleston I was referring to. JVT to talk some NBA and all his other bets next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Nothing delivers comfort and joy quite like the unrivaled quality and taste of Omaha Steaks. This year, skip the holiday hustle and bustle. Save 50% off gourmet gifts site-wide at omahasteaks.com. Plus, get a $30 reward card when you shop early and score an extra $30 off with promo code NUMBERS. With 5 generations of experience, they consistently deliver the world's best steak experience, and the gifting experts at Omaha Steaks have gift packages starting at $89.99. From legendary steaks to mouthwatering desserts and more, save 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com. Plus, our listeners get an extra $30 off with promo code NUMBERS and a $30 reward card when you shop early. That's 50% off at omahasteaks.com and an extra $30 off with promo code NUMBERS. Minimum purchase may apply. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Logic 3227, yo. Every time Norm Powell hits a three, the whole crowd should yell Norm like on the TV show Cheers. Yeah, they should. Jason H11, as a diehard Giants fan, of course I have a Giants worst record bet at 10-1. Let's go, Tommy Cutlets. I love the Giants self-defeatist, yeah, self-hate bets. Yeah. Those are great.
Do you have a bet in that market at all?
No, I don't.
I do have the Patriots from before the season.
I don't. Does it exist in town?
Great question. Probably
I don't think it does.
It wasn't up for DraftKings for multiple weeks. Remember, we kept talking about wanting to talk about it. It wasn't posted anywhere.
DraftKings is where we were quoting the numbers from. Let's see. Scott, New York, Mets 16. As a Commodes fan, Gil's hatred of the Giants is appalling. But as a Giants fan myself, I agree completely. Plus 450 it is. So great. Let's see. The numbers guy. Tiebreaker rules on those NFL awards? When does the NBA season officially kick off? He asks you, Kelly. He says, I want to say April. I always mix it up with MLB opening day. Wow, NBA hate. And let's say Chris Heath killing me with the Pioneer call with that Dr. Bob story from yesterday. Motor City Mike, I'm very fond of my Cade Cunningham most improved player ticket at 25-1. He's bordering on a nightly triple-double threat, and the Pistons could make the play and just added Norm 16-1. Let's go.
I like it, window casher. Let's go. I like it.
Let's bring in JVT to chime in.
Oh, he's got
this.
Thoughts.
Yeah, Jonathan Von Tobel, everybody. Not only co-host of VSiN tonight, but also, you know, listen, he's our NBA senior analyst, and he's got thoughts on many an award market. Most improved player is what we were batting around here, JVT, and I want you to... tell me if I'm way off on this, but I bet Norm Powell yesterday at 18-1. You tell me why I'm wrong.
I mean, I don't think you are. I think this is just really just about how do the voters view him. I think Kelly and I and Zach Cohen were actually chatting about this a couple of days ago in our group chat, which is just like, what do you do as a voter, or how do the voters view certain guys when it comes to most improved? And I asked the question, do you view them from the prism of this is what this guy was the year before and what he is now? Or what he is now in comparison with what he has been throughout the entirety of his career. But either way, Norm Powell fits it, right? Yeah. I mean, the guy is, for a career, averaging 12.6 points per game. He's at 23.3 this year. Last year, he averaged just 13.9. Again, upwards of 23 points per game. He's taking on a much more massive role as an everyday starter. I think that he fits all of the criteria as a most improved player. And while he is very long in the tooth, right? Like we're talking about 2015, 2016 was his first year. We do have at least some precedent that like the older guys have won the award. Most recently, Julius Randle, if you remember, in about his seventh year, ended up winning in New York Jeremy Grant that season. So they are willing to give it to guys who have been in the league for a relatively long time. So I do think that he is pretty viable. The thing that has kept me from it is just that, like, will the voters just say, ah, he's been here forever, he doesn't really count, and we're going to make some arbitrary, you know, parameter as to why he cannot win this award? And that would be the only thing that worries me. But like, if I had a vote, he's definitely inside of my top five guys that I'm watching for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting case. I think that that's my only slight hesitation too, is the, okay, he's been, we have so many of these guys in the league, right, JVT, of the kind of the sixth man guys that we always know how teams are going to utilize them. And that was Norm Powell forever. And do we just look at it more now? He's just getting more shots. There's more quantity, more minutes, and then the stats are coming along. I don't think he's going to be punished for that, but it's an interesting case. I don't mind the bet either. It's interesting.
And I think, too, that the part of the conversation around him, too, is, so there's a couple of things. The first of which is, if you go back to 2020, 2021, when he's with Toronto, remember, he was a 20-point game per game scorer that year for the Toronto Raptors. He averaged about 16 the year prior, 17 the year after that. Like, he's been in this nexus of, like, 20-point-per-game scorer and, you know, nearly starting role almost every single night. So, again, will they look at that and go, we've seen this from him before, this does not count? And the other part is, like, let's take my guy, for example. I've got Jalen Johnson at 14-1 to win this thing. When you say most improved, do you weight the guy who's been in the league for as long as Norm Powell has been making this leap more than the fourth-year player who is making a very strong leap to potentially being, like, you know, cornerstone, best player on his team next to Trae Young kind of guy? That's the other question of how voters view those leaps. Is the young guy making a leap in his fourth year more of an adequate leap, more improvement than the guy who's just been in the league a long time and getting just more minutes and more volume?
I think you're exactly right with all of that, John. I think it does come down to how the voters, each individual one of these guys will and girls will decide what means the most to them. What is the definition of that? Everything you say applies there. The only other thing I will add to this, and we'll move on, get your picks, but Powell was also a sixth man of the year candidate a few years ago, couple years in a row, he finished fourth. And I do wonder if there's a little muscle memory in that. We're like, well, we didn't give him that, So maybe we should consider him more seriously for this.
I do think the biggest check mark you have is the Julius Randle. At least we can point to that and say, hey, 100%. It hasn't always been a third, fourth year guy.
100%, because that is the fly in the orbit. Yeah.
Two, he's not a second year guy, so we're not going to make up that stupid rule where we can't vote for him. So remember that.
You mean Grady Richard, as I like to call him, isn't a possibility? Is what you're trying to say?
Technically, Victor Wembanyama, Chet Holmgren, even though he's injured. So I drew a line through him early, although he was up there too. So, yeah, these guys, as long as they're not in their second year, we expect them to make massive leaps, even though some of them are absolutely transcended second year leaps. Well, whatever.
What was the deal in the 70s that everybody named Richard just took that nickname? It's very strange.
I've got an uncle with that name. Yeah. Never understood it.
Never understood it.
Whole different podcast. John, who do you have in the NBA tonight? Not a cup night, but a regular night, if you will.
Yeah. Just means a little bit more on those cup nights, you know? So I think a downturn in play a little bit later this evening. No, the only thing that I've got here, Atlanta and Golden State, I think Kelly's in on this potentially too. Golden State's an 8-point favorite, total's 239. But here's the thing. I actually haven't bet anything yet. What I want to do here is I'm going to wait for this game to start in-game and see if I can get a cheap price. I do like Golden State tonight, but when you look at the non-Curry minutes, one of the things that has really stuck out is their offense has really dropped off a lot. You go back to a couple of games, for example, just last week, guys, the reason why Steph Curry had such an incredible moment against the Dallas Mavericks is because Steve Kerr took him off the floor at the start of the fourth quarter, and they immediately went into a hole, and he had to come back with some heroics. And I think some in-game strategies with this team is trying to find some spots where they're either down or that number comes down a little bit when those bench units really start to take hold. Because remember, we're talking about this team not only because they're great, but because they're doing something unique. They have this 12-man rotation that Curtis doesn't really want to budge from, and you kind of understand why. But I think that has presented a lot of different in-game opportunities to find this Warriors team at a cheaper price. So Warriors are on the radar, and I do think that they're going to be worth it. But I want to see if I can get that number cheaper when we get to an in-game standpoint. And then later tonight to also Orlando and L.A., the Clippers and the Magic. We saw this total open up at 207.5. We're down to 206.5. I bet under 207. So I think this one's going to get ugly. Two really good defensive teams. I sent this stat to Kelly and Zach earlier. The two best on-ball defenders at the guard position and the two best wing defenders are all on the Orlando Magic. This team is great. This Clippers team stinks on offense. I think this is going to be a pretty ugly game tonight.
We want to get to your favorite college football and your favorite pro football play real quick, though. I'll ask you what I asked Kelly at the beginning, which is bigger story last night. Connect scoring 37 on the strength of 9 threes for the Lakers, or the fact that the Cavs, even without 3 players, kept it super close against the Celtics, came all the way back from 21.
I mean, I think it's probably connected just because rookie of the year seems to be so wide open, right? There has not really been a candidate that has separated himself entirely from the pack. And so any good performance is going to push a guy like Connect, who's been credible, not just last night, into the stratosphere of potential contenders. So I think it's Connect.
Who would have possibly thought he would have been a better pick than where he went, for God's sakes? We all thought he was going to be a top 10 pick. All right. Favorite college football play this week is...
Okay, so I think there's a lot, but I'll focus on Air Force. Air Force is on the road. They're taking on Nevada this week. And there's this thought that I've talked about here on Primetime, guys, where, look, Air Force, if you remember, was rebuilding everything, essentially. The entire roster was gutted. I think they brought about 4 starters back. They started off the year terribly. But this service academy is starting to get continuity. These guys that don't have experience are starting to get experience, and we're really starting to see it. They beat up Fresno State. They absolutely demolished Oregon State. I think this team is getting better and peaking at the right time, and I think they're worth riding. So looking at Air Force to win outright as an underdog on the road in Reno is very much a bet worth making. So I took Air Force this weekend.
All right. Favorite NFL player? Would you like to pass on the NFL and give a second college?
Come on. You know where I'm at here. I've been having a good read on this team. Give me the points with the Indianapolis Colts and Anthony Richardson.
I wish I could have bet on that. 7.5. I wish I could have bet on that. JVTA, renowned Colts fan, but he wants the points here against the Lions. Okay. John, thank you. I appreciate it as always, man.
Thanks for talking to me, guys. Appreciate it.
Jonathan Von Tobel, everybody, at MeJVT, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Alex Kane's going to join us on the other side, the CEO of Sport Trade. We got Jason Weingarten coming up, talking some baseball awards with us. Tim Murray, college football. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Oh, the VSiN Watch app. Look at it. Sexy, sleek, works so well, streamlined. Any other words I can come up with? Not right now. Makes it easy to watch, does the VSiN Watch app. Makes it easy to watch or listen to VSiN anywhere, anytime on your phone or tablet. And for a limited time only, you can watch it for free. Visit the Apple app or Google Play Store now to download the VSiN Watch app and get 24/7 access to our live audio and video stream. Watch replays of your favorite VSiN shows. Easily stream video to your smart TV. Browse clips by sport or use the search feature to find the specific VSiN expert insights you're interested in. The VSiN Watch app, free to download for both Apple and Android users. Out now. Kelly's giving me a hand signal. Before we get to Tim Murray. Can I say, because we just talked about how that Cincinnati-Dallas game can't be flexed out on Monday night. Did you hear the other big NFL sort of broadcast news?
Yeah.
Beyonce doing halftime for one of the Christmas games.
Is that why I was distracted by her yesterday in our post-show meeting?
Oh, why? What do you mean?
I don't know. Beyonce was on.
By the way, what is that commercial she does where she's in the laundromat? How is that commercial allowed? That is a distracting commercial.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I'm okay with it too. I'm just saying, I have no idea how that's allowed. Anyway, Texans Baltimore halftime on Christmas Day. She is doing halftime of this. Netflix announced on Sunday, your early Christmas wish has been granted, they say. That's what a press release said, as Beyonce will perform during Netflix's first ever NFL Christmas game day. Netflix said details about her performance are under wraps, but teased that is expected to feature some special guests who are featured on her recent Cowboy Carter album. That'll be the third NFL halftime show for Beyonce, who previously performed at the Super Bowls in 2013 and 2016. She's doing it on Christmas Day. Remember that Netflix, you were talking about this the other day, so we have the Jake Paul Mike Tyson fight on Netflix and all the buffering issues. Netflix is doing both of the NFL's Christmas Day games this year as part of their wider three-year deal with the league. The Chiefs face the Pittsburgh Steelers in the first game at 1 Eastern, and then it's the Ravens-Texans game after that on Christmas Day, both on Netflix.
Okay, I'm rapidly Googling things because I actually thought this is where you were going with the other NFL news story because Netflix, I think I caught after the fight, they had sent a warning to the NFL about, hey, had sent a warning to Netflix hey, get your stuff together. And then I think I saw something come down this morning before the show of Netflix promises there's going to be no issues.
Okay.
Which I don't really know how they can promise something like that, but okay.
Well, I think I speak for everybody. You better get it ready by halftime of game two. Better get it together. Because that's, man. That did not go well, Paul and Tyson, as we discussed.
No, not at all.
Tim Murray is here, ladies and gentlemen. You can follow him on Twitter at @OneTimMurray to talk college football with us. We're always thrilled to have Tim with us, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He's the host of the VSiN College Football Tailgate Show each and every Saturday. And, of course, the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, which grows and grows. How you doing, Tim?
I'm great, Gil. Just trying to think about the last time our Washington football franchise was a double-digit favorite against the Cowboys.
We actually covered this on Monday. It is the fifth time, Tim. I was wondering this openly. 1989, 1990, 1991, and 2000. The only other four times that we could come up with since the databases on spreads existed, where Washington is a double-digit favorite over the Dallas Cowboys. Soak in it. Enjoy.
Love it. Awesome. Love it.
Yeah, man. Would you lay the points, though?
Probably not.
I don't think I am either. I don't think I want any part of that. Okay. By the way, do you have an NFL play before we get to college football that you like better than that?
I haven't gotten to the window on anything yet, but certainly the Chargers +3 in the Harbaugh interests me there. Older brother Jim getting the best of younger brother John, right? He's older. Jim's older, right?
John is older.
I thought it was the other.
Yeah, John is older. Yes.
John is older. Okay. Yeah. So younger brother. I think Cleveland +3.5 interests me a little bit on Thursday. So I would say those are early on the chopping block there.
Okay. Any reaction to college football brackets part 3 last night? Anything significant to you?
Yeah, I think you could get a little there. I'll start with Georgia. And no one's going to be sorry for Georgia, but I don't understand what they're doing. Look, Georgia's got wins over Texas on the road, who inexplicably still remains number 3 with 0 wins over top 25 teams. Their best win is over 6-4 Vanderbilt. And Georgia went down and beat them by 2 touchdowns. Yes, Georgia has losses to Alabama and Ole Miss, but they also have a win over number 11 Tennessee and have a win over number 17 Clemson. So like I said, no one's going to cry for Georgia. They're an absolute superpower, have been. I'm not saying they're perfect this year, but I don't fully know, you know, what the committee is how that's going to play out. And then secondly, Gil, I really believe it's setting up, like it or not, where if Indiana loses on Saturday and it's ugly, they're out. I think they're going to drop like a rock. And whether that's fair or not, I just look at the last 2 weeks. Georgia dropped 9 spots losing to Ole Miss. BYU dropped 8 spots losing to Kansas. And to me, I think they're setting it up to potentially move Indiana down quite considerably if they were to lose ugly to Ohio State. Whether that's right or wrong, that's just kind of my gut feel there. And then lastly, I said it 2 weeks ago, this is shaping up to have Boise State get a bye. And what did we see last night? Boise State had a bye. And I think Boise State really has an opportunity ahead of them, especially if Fresno State beats Colorado State on Saturday and they get a rematch against UNLV. I think Boise State is in decent shape to get a bye. And then that number 5 seed, boy, you're talking about Ohio State's path right now, guys. Look at that. Ohio State would play in this current situation, would play against the Big 12 champion and then Boise State. Not too shabby to try to get to the semifinals.
Yeah, Boise State is poised to get a bye, it appears. And then the fifth best conference champion, regardless of ranking, gets in the top 12, and that's where BYU is currently at the very moment. I agree with what you're saying about Indiana. It's why when Wes was on the other day, Wes Reynolds, I sort of said, are you braced for again, as you put it, Tim, whether it's right or wrong, are you braced for a shafting in this if Indiana loses big time? And I was mentioning earlier, Dr. Bob, who does, you know, who has models on all of these teams and is one of the great analysts of college football teams, he takes the opposite approach. He believes that there is no way that Indiana should be knocked out of this regardless. Now, obviously, if it was a ridiculous blowout, maybe that's a different story. But if it's your normal defeat, let's say it's a 10-point defeat, that there's no way that they should be knocked out of it. And his sort of thinking is, because even though their competition is lesser, they are beating that competition by a margin that exceeds what a very good team would do. And he used an analogy. If the Yankees were playing AAA baseball teams and they were crushing them, would you think they're a lesser football team? So he was getting into it with folks on Twitter. So it's going to be fascinating, no question about it. What did you end up with this weekend in terms of bets?
Yeah, so I've got a couple in the hopper. I mentioned one already. I really like Fresno State. They're the late night game. I think Colorado State, it's a bit of a paper tiger. They're undefeated in Mountain West play, but I think this is the spot where rubber meets the road. I laid a short money line price. If you want to lay the 3, I'm not opposed to that either. I just think this is a spot where Fresno State, you know, interim head coach, I think they take care of business here. So I laid 3. I laid, you know, the money line. I think the official play I put into the picks page was money line on this particular game. A couple other ones that are interesting, and I'll give you more sexy matchups as opposed to one of the more kind of obscure ones that I bet on. You know, look, if we get back to 3, I'll be in on Kansas again. I was on Kansas last week against BYU. You know, I was not overly impressed by Kansas, though, on Saturday night at BYU. And remember, this is a neutral site game. This isn't a true home game. This is at Arrowhead. This isn't in Lawrence. Just remembering if you're, you know, handicapping this particular game. So that was one that I'm waiting to see if I get the 3. I was able to grab a 3 early, so certainly wouldn't recommend it right now at the current price. I think Nebraska takes care of Wisconsin on Saturday. I think that's, you know, it's a crazy stat. How about this, Gil? Nebraska, who hasn't been to a bowl since 2016,
man,
has lost 8 straight games when trying to obtain that 6th win.
Oh, man.
So it's been pretty brutal for the Badgers, for the Cornhuskers, excuse me. And then lastly, I'll give you a wild one as we bid farewell. Syracuse went out to Cal, won as a double-digit dog last week. Next week, Gil, in the Carrier Dome or whatever they call their stadium these days, they get to not try to knock off Miami. This week, they've got to welcome in UConn. And it ain't a basketball game. It's a football game. UConn coming off a bye. Jim Mora Jr., I think, is a very good coach, at least in the collegiate ranks. Give me the 10.5 with UConn against Syracuse in a sleepy sandwich spot there up in upstate New York.
Tim Murray, everybody. Carrier Dome. I believe it's still called the Carrier Dome, isn't it? Give me visions.
It's got some other news. I don't know.
Give me visions of Pearl Washington and Eric Sanifer. Appreciate that. Thank you, Tim. I appreciate it very much, man.
Of course, Gil. See you, man.
Tim Murray, everybody. Once again, host of VEASAN College Football Tailgate Show and, of course, College Football Betting Podcast as well. Jason Weingarten on Major League Baseball Awards next.